سيف another sleep in your mind. God, we thank you because we can always depend on you. We can always trust in your word. Even in the darkest season of our lives. Lord Jesus, as we come before your word this morning, may you use your servant, Lord, to speak to each one of us. Lord, I pray that we have this desire, Lord, we have the heart to be intentional, God. Seek you more, to seek more of your word, God, and the desire, God, to grow more spiritually. Lord, you bless your servant who will be sharing your word this morning. And may you bless the rest of the time this morning. Thank you, God, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. All right, so again, good morning, everyone. We are blessed to have our speaker today. This speaker is from, he's a former Bishop of the Methodist Church in Singapore. So please join me in welcoming Reverend Dr. Gordon Vaughan.
Good morning. I want to thank Cousin John for the opportunity to be with you. All right, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll anchor a little bit. Let's actually see what's going on. If you're calling John or Pastor John or just John, is it? Just John. Just John. He allowed me to pick any passage to share with you from Scripture, and I decided to share from one of the Psalms, Psalm 42, 43. And then he made the comment that Psalms is an interesting book. It is, isn't it? Because it's part of the Word of God, Scriptures. And normally when we talk about Scriptures, the Word of God, the Word of God speaking to us. And that's how we pray, that's how we think of the Scriptures. Yet, when you think about the Psalms are actually the words of human beings to God. Every single psalm is expressing the words of human beings or worshippers speaking to God or praising God or crying out to God. But we believe that since God has put these human words or human prayers, if you like, to God into His Holy Scriptures, that somehow these human words to God can function as God's word to us. It needs a bit of reflection and thought how that works. So I thought I'd share from Psalm 42, 43. It's my conviction that in a sense, the book of Psalms is like, you know, in the Anglican tradition, they have what they call the Book of Common Prayers, which is like examples of prayers that you can use when you want to speak to God at different occasions. So in a sense, the book of Psalms functioned like this book of common prayers that the people of God in the Old Testament times used to commune with God, to talk with God, to pray to God. And the fact that God has included these human prayers as part of His Holy Scripture would suggest that God believes that we can learn from these human prayers, that the way they express their feelings and their thoughts, their praises to God, can in some way help us in our expressions to God, in our prayer life. And so I think Psalm 42, 43 as an example is the kind of prayer that God says we can use and when we are feeling down. So before we read from Psalm 42, in that same light, why don't we use another prayer in the Psalm, Psalm 118, verse 19, let me work this out, press down, right? That's right. So here's another prayer that I certainly use every time before I read Scripture, before I study Scripture. It's a prayer that I pray to the Lord, He may open my eyes, that I may understand the wonders of His teaching. So let's use this simple prayer together before we read Psalm 43, 43. Dear Father, open my eyes that I may perceive the wonders of your teaching. We pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son, who is your living word made flesh for us. Amen. Okay, that's Psalm 42, 43. Since we have technology, we may have different versions on your phone. So let's use the version that's up here and we read together. Yeah, well, there's a sufficient gap, a sufficient number of men and women, so we can use different voices. Let's have all the men to read what's in yellow and all the ladies to read what's in white. Okay, so men, please, I know men are generally very shy, if you don't like to speak very loud, but let's try and read God's word together and then the ladies will start. Men begin.
As your ear pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Men cry to the hope and wish God, and hears that he might put day and night. For he shall say to me, all people, where is God?
These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng.
Why, my soul, are you around us? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior.
We'll stop the reading here, although I do hope to take you through Psalm 42, 43, so you might want to keep your Bibles on. Let me introduce Psalm 42, 43 by talking about a more modern song that topped the charts way back in the 1970s. I know John and Evelyn will know this song, those of us who are older. I'm not sure whether Nat will remember it. It's a song called Rainy Days and Mondays. You know, a song by the Carpenters. Is there a...
I wasn't born yet.
So for the sake of Nat and others, why doesn't John and Evie and all of us who know it sing the song so that they can look at the words? But can you, are you controlling the PowerPoint there? If not, I'll ask John to just move it forward. As we sing along. Okay, you're there a bit. Those of us who know it, please, let's sing along so that those who don't know it can look at the words.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around. Nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays, all things cast me down. What I've got, they used to call the blue. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely cloud. Rainy days and Mondays, all things can't be done. Funny, but it seems I always wind up here with you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel has come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about. Hanging around. Nothing to do but smile. Rainy days and Mondays, all it's gonna be around.
All right, so a number of you do know it. What does rainy days and Mondays have to do with Psalm 42, 43? Let me suggest at least two things. Firstly, rainy days and Mondays and Psalm 42, 43, they are both songs. And they both share a very typical song structure. three stanzas or three verses, and then a chorus that is repeated after every verse or after every stanza. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. That's the chorus of the Carpenter's hit. Now look again at Psalm 42, 43. Notice that there is a repeated chorus. If you compare verses 5 and 11 in Psalm 42, and again in Psalm 43, verse 5, the last verse, you will see they are exactly the same words, exactly the same chorus. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This is the chorus of Psalm 42, 43, and it gets repeated three times after each stanza of each verse. The chapter divisions in our Bibles, they were not found in the original or earliest versions of the Bible. For convenience, somebody around the 13th century AD decided to divide the biblical text into chapters. By and large, he did a very good job. But there are some places where we think he made a mistake, and the division he created between Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 by introducing a new chapter is one place where we think he made a mistake. They are actually a single psalm, one song of lament with exactly the same one chorus. So we've seen that it shares the same chorus. There are other reasons that support this conclusion, but since this isn't a lecture, I won't go into them. Psalm 42, 43 is one song composed of three stanzas, and each stanza concluding with the same chorus. So this is the first similarity it has to the Carpenter's song, Rainy Days and Mondays. But there is a second and more important similarity. Both songs share the same mood, the same feeling of being down and depressed. What I've got, they used to call the blues. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. So this sad mood, this feeling down, is similar in Psalm 42, 43. Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. And verse 1 expresses a feeling of terrible dryness and life-threatening thirst. The image is that of a hot desert during the summer months. Most of the streams have dried up. A deer is dying of thirst, longing to find a stream with some water flowing, but it's so hard to find. In the same way, the psalmist feels as if his life is drying up. He's looking for God like a deer looking for water. But verse 2, where can I come to find water? Where can I find and God again? Like a deer panting for water in a hot desert. So the psalmist is panting, struggling to find God. Have you ever felt like that in your Christian life? Maybe you know someone who feels like that right now. When life seems desperately dry and draining, God seems to have disappeared. The second verse of the psalm heightens the despair. The frustration of not being able to find God develops into a feeling that maybe God has forgotten all about me. In Psalm 42, verse 9, say to my God, my rock, my fortress, where are you? Why have you forgotten me? The psalmist tells God really, that he is depressed. Feel the sadness of verse 6. My soul is downcast within me. The picture of sorrow that he uses also changes now. In stanza 1, the psalmist was dying of thirst, like a deer looking for water, but water couldn't be found. But now in stanza 2, he is drowning. There is too much water flooding his life. See Psalm 42, verse 7. The waves of water come crashing into my life, and he is going under. Again, don't we sometimes feel like that? Overwhelmed drowning under the constant waves, wave after wave of problems and pain, disappointment and despair. And that despair heightens even further in stanza 3. Stanza 1, I'm all dried up and I can't seem to find you, God. Stanza 2, I'm drowning. God, you seem to have forgotten me. Where are you? And now stanza 3, Psalm 43, verse 2. Has God not just forgotten me? Has he forsaken me? My God, why have you rejected me? Oops, sorry. Psalm 43, verses 1 to 2. Why have you rejected me or forsaken me? Now, the psalmist doesn't provide enough details for us, so we do not know the exact causes, what happened in his life that made him feel so down and depressed. But the tears that he expresses, the anguish that he expresses, those feelings surely are not unknown to us. I suspect many of us have experienced it ourselves. Okay, I've brought along a couple of books that I'm happy to give out to you. I thought I'd better, I started off in a rather depressed tone, so I'm going to cheer you up by having a quiz. What do Winston Churchill, Ernest Hemingway, Abraham Lincoln, Buzz Aldrin, and Charles Spurgeon have in common? Any guesses? You won't be able to read my mind. They're all in different fields, right? They have at least two things in common. Firstly, they are all very famous people, right? They are all very famous and very successful names in their respective fields. Winston Churchill, Ernest Hemingway, Abraham Lincoln, astronaut Buzz Aldrin. I assume you don't need introductions to them. And you all are from roughly a Baptist tradition, right? So Charles Spurgeon should also be well known. Maybe some of you don't know that. But so just in case you don't know, Charles Spurgeon is widely regarded as one of the greatest English preachers of the Baptist Church, not just in his time, the 1800s, but of all time. Besides these five persons being successful and famous in their respective fields, they also had something else in common. Anyone gonna guess what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, that looks like my books are safe, but I give them to you that job.
They all suffered from frequent bouts of depression in their lives. They talk about the depression that they went through. For the great Christian preacher Charles Spurgeon, his depression was related to the fact that he often suffered from gout, that's the physical pain of gout. The point, though, is this: depression while we are on earth is not an uncommon experience. And if you are suffering from it, please remember, you are not alone. From the Bible itself, we could include famous prophets like Elijah, Jeremiah. I suppose we could even include our Lord Jesus himself. You may recall how at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told his disciples his soul was really troubled, and the language he uses, to the point of death. He was feeling so sad. Depression is a common experience on earth. Like most popular trends, popular Christian attitudes tend to change fairly quickly. 60 years ago, when I was growing up as a young Christian, the dominant Christian view implied that if you are a truly mature and spiritual or holy Christian believer, then, you know, you would always be looking very serious and somber, studying the Bible or fasting or praying. Good holy Christians back then didn't laugh and make jokes. They always seemed to be fasting and praying and serious looking. In other words, if you were someone who was smiling and happy looking all the time, it meant that you were a little frivolous in your Christian devotion. You were not very serious in your holiness. But today, the Christian climate has completely changed. Nowadays, we are expected to be smiling and dancing and praising God all of the time. And if we are not doing that, then people tend to think, why are you so sad, brother? You're not living the victorious Christian life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Popular Christianity today implies that a victorious Christian is always happy. And so today, if you look sad or serious, or God forbid, if you cry, then many assume that something is wrong in your Christian walk. Why aren't you rejoicing in the Lord, brother? If you are depressed, people assume you have backslided. My friend Richard experienced this very unbiblical attitude soon after his wife died. She died when she was only 29 years old. Richard was shattered. He fell into depression. He had no appetite. Even when he did manage to put some food in, he couldn't seem to hold the food down for very long. He suddenly vomited. Like the psalmist in verse 3, tears were his food day and night. Not just in private, but also in public places. He said he would sometimes seem to be in a daze. Suddenly he would start crying. Or he would sometimes spill milk onto the table, although he's trying to pour it into his coffee mug. He would sometimes bump into walls. He was speaking to me on the first anniversary of his wife's death. And he told me that he had not been able to have a good night, single night of good sleep throughout since his wife passed on. Richard is a full-time Christian worker and someone I know loves God deeply. And he said to me that it was very painful when his Christian friends told him that he needed to cheer up a bit. I know they mean well, Richard said, but I don't feel like cheering up. I don't feel like smiling. Why must I smile? Make them feel better? Then he told me, and I could sense tired anger in his voice. What upsets me is that some of these so-called Christian leaders said that I was no longer walking in close communion with God, because I no longer had a very joyful spirit. This was only 3 months after Natalie had died. Rumors began to circulate that I had backslidden away from God. But that is not true, Richard insisted. Sure, I question God. I still do. Why, God, did you allow this? Why has this happened? Our marriage was so beautiful. How am I to go on? But though I question God, I never turn away from Him. God was and is my closest friend, whom I cry to day and night. There is a world of difference between questioning God and turning away from Him. When we turn away from Him, we no longer care, just ignore God. But the one who honestly cries out to God, even questions God, even complains and laments, he or she is still in communion with God. And the lament of Psalm 42, 43 teaches us this truth. Such cries and complaints to God are not an indication of weakness, spiritual weakness. No, they may be an indication of godly strength and faithfulness. Think about other Bible characters, godly Job. He questioned God. You know, Job is 42 chapters, right? Most people only read chapter 1, chapter 2, where he says, you know, praises God. Naked I came into the world, naked I can go, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. And maybe the last chapter 2, you know, he remains faithful. But it's 42 chapters, and you read chapter 3 all the way to chapter 40. It's complaint after complaint, lament after lament, saying, Lord, why? Why have you allowed this? You seem to have deceived me. Godly Job questioned God. Godly Jeremiah questioned God. You know, the book of Lamentation, the whole book of the Bible is a collection of laments crying out to God. Why? Some of us know Lamentations 3:23, right? Great is thy faithfulness, new every morning. Look, the only verses we know in this five chapters of the book, those are about the only part of the only 12 verses in the whole book that are what we would call reasonably positive. The rest of the book is lament after lament. That's why it's called Lamentation. God includes this in his holy scriptures, surely to tell us that at times on earth, it's understandable that we lament, that we cry out. It takes honesty and godly strength to keep crying out to God when God seems nowhere to be found. Of course, we know even our Lord Jesus cried out, "My God, why? Why have you forsaken me?" The psalmist in Psalm 42, 43 shows us godly honesty and strength. He feels dry. God seems far away. But the psalmist keeps longing for him. As a deer pants for water, so my soul keeps longing after you. Even though it feels as if God has rejected me, the psalmist keeps praying for God's light and truth to lead him out of darkness. Psalm 43, verse 3. The psalmist longs for the day when once again he will be able to praise God with joy and music. Psalm 43, verse 4. I think God has given us Psalm 42, 43 to help us at times when we feel down, so that we too may somehow find the strength to follow the example of the psalmist when we are in despair. It won't be easy. It will be a struggle. The temptation will be to just turn away from God. You can almost feel the struggle as you read the psalm. In each stanza, the psalmist cries out in anguish and despair. And then in the chorus, he tries to talk to himself, to compose himself. He repeatedly says, "Why are you feeling so downcast, oh my soul?" It's a rhetorical question, of course. He knows very well why he's feeling so downcast. Some terrible thing is happening in his life that has made him feel like this. But he's trying to tell himself, "I shouldn't need to feel this way. Let me cry out to God. Let me keep my eyes on God, even though God seems to have forgotten, forsaken him." And so he refuses to go under. He tells himself not to be overwhelmed by his understandable despair. And he resolves to go on with life, to go on waiting patiently for God. The Hebrew phrase that our English Bibles translate as hope in God perhaps can be better translated as wait for God. Wait expectantly for God. To wait is to hang on patiently. Notice there is no command to smile, no call to sing or dance. We are called to persevere, to hang on in faith, to keep hope in God, to wait for him, till the day when we might once again praise God. This combination of both sorrow and strength, expressing both despair as well as devotion. I hear this combination in the words that Richard wrote on the anniversary of his wife's death. You can feel this combination of sorrow and strength, these words which he gave me permission to share. "My dearest and most precious man, last year this day left me. Life has since become so meaningless for me, so empty, so lonely. It's but pain, sorrow, grief. My tears have been my food every day. Yet, as I look up to our Lord Jesus and ponder over the words of the Holy Scripture, I am comforted that you are safe in the arms of our Heavenly Father and free from all suffering. As each day adds to the length of our separation, so does it shorten the wait for our reunion. As my tears flow on this first anniversary, I know heaven celebrates the first year of your return home. We shall surely meet again. Till then, love will keep us close to each other's heart, despite the absence between us. I love you, my dearest Nat, forever." covet husband. Psalm 42, 43 teaches us how to pray when we are feeling depressed. How? Not by pretending that everything is not so bad after all. Not by praying only nice words of praise and thanksgiving. Prayer can be an honest expression of our pain as well as of our perseverance. We can pray with sad despair together with steady devotion. May Psalm 42, 43 help us when we walk through the very dark valleys of despair, crying and waiting, for God is our Lord. Psalm 42, 43 was a song, is a song, sung by the people of God. Maybe our church worship services need more songs, like Psalm 42, 43. We have many songs which help us express our praise and our gratitude and our thanksgiving. And that's good, it's important. But I think we also need songs to help us offer our tears and our despair and our questions. Songs like Psalm 42, 43. Songs of lament and pain. You know, another thing about the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, the majority of them are songs of lament. They outnumber the song of praise. So the people of God in the past, when they worshipped God, they worshipped Him honestly. Yes, with praise and thanksgiving, but also with their questions and their cries. And God presumably accepted them, as He's included the book of Psalms as part of His holy book. So we need more songs like this one by Don Moen. I don't know whether you're familiar with it, entitled Lord, You See So Far Away. I'm going to close by singing it. And as we do, maybe you can pray for someone you know getting feeling down, a very deep dark valley. Pray and cry with them. That someone, maybe yourself, know that you can come to God, pour out your despair for Johnny, can help me move the world from that to me. Or create them. Lord, You seem so far away, a million miles or more. It feels today. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. And I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. Oh Lord, I need Your grace to save my dying heart. I will sing, I will pray, even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, I will pray. Lift my hands to honor You, because Your word is true. I will sing. Lord, it's hard for me to understand the suffering that comes today. And though I put my trust in You, a part of me right now wants to turn and walk away. I just don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as You give the praise with all that's in my heart, I will sing. I will pray, even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing.
I pray. Lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will sing. Heavenly Father, as we pray that in your mercy, will hear us, brothers. Thank you for your invitation to us to always come to you, no matter how we are feeling, and to cry out to the people. In your mercy, hear our cries for ourselves and friends we mention in our prayers, or even for people that we don't know personally, but we think of situations in the world where many must be feeling, where are you? Why is there so much violence, injustice? For in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray in the name of the one who on the cross himself cried, why have you forsaken me? Pray in the name of Jesus,